This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of 2 Chronicles. And now open your Bibles as Pastor Sandy teaches through 2 Chronicles chapters 11 through 17.
Verse 9, so Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took everything. He also carried away the gold shields which Solomon had made. Remember the 500 golden shields Solomon had placed in his palace there in Lebanon? Remember, these were ornamental shields. They were intended to show off Solomon's glory. But all Solomon's glory, his wealth and his power, couldn't shield Judah from God's judgment. Then King Rehoboam made bronze shields in their place and committed them to the hands of the captains of the guard who guarded the doorway of the king's house. And whenever the king entered the house of the Lord, the guard would go and bring them out. Then they would take them back into the guard room. This was horrible. Rather than trust God and fight Shishak and take back those golden shields, Rehoboam opted for bronze shields. He settled for a substitute, an inferior substitute, I might add. Understand, throughout Scripture, gold is a symbol of God's work. It comes from the earth. It's a gift from God. Whereas bronze is an alloy of zinc and copper. It's man's work. Gold represents the work of the Holy Spirit. Bronze represents a work of the flesh. And what Rehoboam does here, many Christians today have mimicked. Rather than go for the gold, we settle for the bronze. Instead of insisting on God's best, we settle for cheap substitutes. We rely on willpower rather than God's power. We rely in our services on the moving of emotions rather than transforming of lives. We make little compromises rather than insisting upon change. We opt for appeasement rather than total victory. We rely on what we can do instead of trusting in what God can do. Hey, Rehoboam should have gone for the gold, but instead he settled for bronze. Let's not make that mistake in our hearts, in our homes, and let's certainly not make that mistake in our church. Let's walk in the Spirit and let's go for the gold. Verse 12, when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him so as not to destroy him completely, and things also went well in Judah. Thus Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. Now Rehoboam was 41 years old when he became king, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all of the tribes of Israel to put his name there. His mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. And he did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. The acts of Rehoboam, first and last, are they not written in the book of Shimei the prophet and of Iddo the seer concerning genealogies? And of course, these books were popular at the time. Tragically, though, they have been lost to antiquity. And there were wars between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days, north and south, never reconciled. Rehoboam's greediness and his foolishness broke up the nation for good. So Rehoboam rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. Then Abijah, his son, reigned in his place. Chapter 13. In the 18th year of King Jeroboam, Abijah became king over Judah. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Micaiah, the daughter of Uriel of Gibeah. And there was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. Abijah sent the battle in order with an army of valiant warriors, 400,000 choice men. Jeroboam also drew up in battle formation against him with 800,000 choice men, mighty men of valor. Notice Abijah and Judah are outnumbered 2-1. Then Abijah stood on Mount Zemaraim, which is in the mountains of Ephraim, and said, hear me, Jeroboam, and all Israel. Now notice here, Abijah is the aggressor. He's the one that has moved his army into the northern kingdom, into the mountains of Ephraim. And before he wages war, he calls out his rival, Jeroboam. And basically, he gives him a tongue lashing. He says, "Should you not know that the Lord God of Israel gave the dominion over Israel to David forever, to him and his sons, by a covenant of salt?" Remember, salt is the universal preservative. Thus, a covenant of salt spoke of longevity and perpetuity. In other words, he's saying, don't you know the covenant of David is still in force? The northern tribes should submit and bow to the house of David. Yet Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the servant of Solomon, the son of David, rose up and rebelled against his Lord. Then worthless rogues gathered to him and strengthened themselves against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, when Rehoboam was young and inexperienced and could not withstand him. And now you think to withstand the kingdom of the Lord, which is in the hand of the sons of David. And you are a great multitude, and with you are the gold calves which Jeroboam made for you as gods. Jeroboam was trusting in his idols. Have you not cast out the priests of the Lord, the sons of Aaron, and the Levites, and made for yourselves priests like the peoples of other lands, so that whoever comes to consecrate himself with a young bull and seven rams may be a priest of things that are not gods? Notice this system of priesthood that Jeroboam had concocted. In other words, it was by a priest type of deal. You know, you come, you pay your bull, your seven rams, you can be a priest. You can just come and kind of buy the certificate. But as for us, the Lord is our God, and we have not forsaken him. And the priests who minister to the Lord are the sons of Aaron, and the Levites attend to their duties. And they burn to the Lord every morning and every evening burnt sacrifices and sweet incense. They also set the showbread in order on the pure gold table and the lampstand of gold with its lamps to burn every evening. For we keep the command of the Lord our God, but you have forsaken him." In other words, unlike Jeroboam, who made up his own rules, basically, the southern kingdom of Judah had continued to worship God according to his law. You know, guys, this is a problem today. Too many church leaders have abandoned God's ways and God's methods, and they're just sort of making it up as they go. We should never forget that there is a rule book. God has left us an owner's manual. It's not enough to serve God. He's told us how and from what motive we should serve him. Well, Abijah continues, "Now look, God himself is with us as our head, and his priests with sounding trumpets to sound the alarm against you, O children of Israel. Do not fight against the Lord God of your fathers, for you shall not prosper." I love what he's saying here. God himself is with us as our head. And guys, when God is your head, you are bound to get ahead. Who's your head tonight? Who mans the bridge on your ship? Who calls the shots in your life? If God is your head, you are bound to get ahead. But Jeroboam caused an ambush to go around behind them. Now, while Abijah's doing all this talking, this shrewd Jeroboam, he's maneuvering his troops around for an ambush. So they were in front of Judah, and the ambush was behind them. And when Judah looked around, to their surprise, the battle line was at both front and rear. And they cried out to the Lord, and the priests sounded the trumpets. Jeroboam suddenly realizes that his escape route back to Judah and Jerusalem has been cut off. Or Abijah discovers that. Jeroboam has come around and cut off his escape route. "Then the men of Judah gave a shout. And as the men of Judah shouted," notice the army of Judah realized that it's suddenly surrounded. And all they can manage to do is cry out to the Lord. They're trapped. I love what F.B. Meyer says at this point. He says, "The point to remember is that our enemies may shut us in on all sides, preventing reinforcements from north, south, east, and west, but no earthly power can ever shut off God from above us. The way upwards is always kept clear. The ladder which links the beleaguered soul with God in heaven can never be blocked, except by our own sin." When you get surrounded, when you feel like you're trapped, hey, there's a clear path to God. You can drop to your knees and you can cry out to God and you can give out that same shout. Verse 15 records the outcome. And it happened as they shouted, God struck Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. How God struck them, we're not told. We're curious, but we're not told. Maybe it was a lightning storm. Maybe it was a flurry of hailstones. Maybe it was a meteorite shower, some kind of cosmic phenomena. Perhaps it was an angel of God brandishing his sword. Whatever means God used, it did the trick. And the children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hand. Then Abijah and his people struck them with a great slaughter, so 500,000 choice men of Israel fell slain, almost as many men who died in America's Civil War. A lot of people. Thus the children of Israel were subdued at that time, and the children of Judah prevailed because they relied on the Lord God of their fathers. Why did they prevail? Why will you prevail? For the same reason. Because you rely upon the Lord God of their fathers, of Jehovah of Israel. And Abijah pursued Jeroboam and took cities from him, Bethel with its villages. And this is ironic. Remember where Jeroboam stationed his golden calves? One was in Dan and one was in Bethel. Evidently, Jeroboam's false god was unable to defend its own hometown because Abijah took Bethel. And he also took Jeshanah with its villages and Ephraim with its villages. So Jeroboam did not recover strength again in the days of Abijah, and the Lord struck him and he died. But Abijah grew mighty, married 14 wives, and begot 22 sons and 16 daughters. And guys, can you imagine planning and paying for 16 weddings? One's going to break me. Abijah needed the wealth of a king. Now, the rest of the acts of Abijah, his ways and his sayings, are written in the annals of the prophet Iddo. By the way, did you hear about, this is on my mind lately. Did you hear about the father of the bride who was asked the question, how do you feel about losing your daughter? He answered, oh no, I'm not losing a daughter. I'm just gaining a bathroom. Chapter 14. So Abijah rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. Then Asa, his son, reigned in his place. In his days, the land was quiet for 10 years. Benjamin Franklin said, there was never a good war or a bad peace. The land needs some peacetime. King Asa was a good and godly king, and through him, peace came to this troubled land. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God, for he removed the altars of the foreign gods and the high places and broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images, these Canaanite fertility idols that were set up in the land. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandment. He also removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was quiet under him. And he built fortified cities in Judah, for the land had rest. He had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. Hey, Asa was a smart ruler. He understood that in a foreign world, war is inevitable. In a fallen world, war is inevitable. You can count on it. It's been said peace is that time when everyone stands around reloading. Asa used his peace time, though, to prepare for further war. During this period of peace, he fortified his buffer cities. Therefore, he said to Judah, let us build these cities and make walls around them and towers, gates, and bars while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. God was blessing Judah. And Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah who carried shields and spears, and from Benjamin, 280,000 men who carried shields and drew bows. All these were mighty men of valor. But storm clouds, war clouds, begin to form. Verse 9. Then Zerah, the Ethiopian, came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots. And he came to Mareshah. Zerah, the Ethiopian, had 1,000,000-man army. And he intended to use it to conquer and to pillage. And so Asa went out against him, and they set the troops in battle array in the valley of Zephatha at Mareshah. This battlefield was southwest of Jerusalem. On our last trip to Israel, we visited an area known as the Baal Caves. On the road to the Philistine country, there's an area there where there are 800 bell-shaped subterranean caves. It's really cool. The air in the caves is always cool. And some of these caves are huge. Their ceilings are 75 foot from the floor. If you saw Sylvester Stallone's movie Rambo 3, you don't have to admit it. It was shot in that area of Israel down around the Baal Caves. And next to these caves, there was a town known as Mareshah. Unlike the fictitious fighting in Rambo 3, a real war did take place near these caves. It took place in the days of Asa between Judah and Ethiopia. Again, like his father Abiah, Asa is facing an army that outnumbers him 2-1. Zerah and the Ethiopians number 1,000,000 men. And Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, "Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against the multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you." Asa realizes a truth I hope you never forget. One plus God always equals a majority. It doesn't matter how outnumbered or how overmatched you may be. If God is on your side, he is more than enough to negate whatever opposition you face. I like to say this, God is the great equalizer. When God is on your side, victory is certain, as we see here. Verse 12. So the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Again, we're not told how he did, only that God struck this invading army. And Asa and the people who were with him pursued them to Gerar. In other words, they're going back to Ethiopia. And so he's fleeing south, chasing them. And they chase him to Gerar. And so the Ethiopians were overthrown, and they could not recover, for they were broken before the Lord and his army. And they carried away very much spoil. Guys, I hope you understand, the Lord is never hindered by our littleness. He is more than enough to help us overcome whatever we lack. He is not limited by our lack of size. He is only limited by our lack of faith. Never forget that. Then they defeated all the cities around Gerar that Ethiopia had annexed, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they plundered all the cities, for there was exceedingly much spoil in them. They also attacked the livestock enclosures and carried off sheep and camels in abundance and returned to Jerusalem. Chapter 15. Now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time, Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. But when in their trouble they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found by them." What a sad plight when a people find themselves without a teaching priest and without God's law. In those situations, they are literally lost. If your church has a teacher of God's word, never take it for granted. There are some who lack a teaching priest and lack God's law. Don't ever assume, well, you know, other people will support the church. Hey, if you're part of a church that teaches the Bible, be thankful and support that church with your prayers, with your money. This is why we're excited to have these Calvary Chapel pastors with us tonight who are planting Calvary Chapels in communities that lack a teaching priest and that lack God's law. I hope God put one of them on your heart, and I hope you'll pray for him in the days ahead and encourage him when you can. Verse 5. And in those times there was no peace to the one who went out, nor to the one who came in, but great turmoil was on all the inhabitants of the land. So the nation was destroyed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every adversity. But you be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. In other words, he's telling Asa, don't walk with the Lord, follow the Lord. Don't let the same kind of destruction come to Judah that has occurred in Israel. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and removed the abominable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities which he had taken in the mountains of Ephraim, and he restored the altar of the Lord that was before the vestibule of the Lord. Needed reforms took place in the days of Asa. Then he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and those who dwelt with them from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon, for they came over to him in great numbers from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. And evidently the prosperity that Judah had enjoyed, the victory over their enemies, had caused many of the inhabitants of the northern tribes to realize their mistakes, realize God's blessing was on Judah. And so they repented of their rebellion, and many of them returned to Judah and the temple and the true worship of God and renounced the worship of Jeroboam. You know, we talk a lot today, you hear a lot of talk today about the lost tribes of Israel. There are really no such thing. The tribes are not lost. A representation of all of the 10 tribes migrated to Judah during this time. And so Judah became sort of the embodiment of all 12 tribes. And so they gathered together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered to the Lord at that time 700 bulls and 7,000 sheep from the spoil they had brought. Sounds like barbecue at a men's rally. And then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. And whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel was to be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. Boy, Asa's a zealous guy, isn't he? Either serve the Lord or die. Didn't give him any options. And then they all took an oath before the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting and trumpets and ram's horns. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their soul. And he was found by them. And the Lord God gave them rest all around. And when you seek the Lord with all your heart, and when you seek him with all your soul, you can be sure that he will be found by you. A zeal for the Lord swept over the nation. Also, he removed Maacah, the mother of Asa the king, from being queen mother, because she had made an obscene image of Asherah, and Asa cut down her obscene image, then crushed and burned it by the brook Kidron. And that's no small task. He went against Mama. Asa's mom, evidently, was involved in this fertility cult of the Canaanite goddess Asherah. And when you make a woman your god, it's no surprise that a woman tries to take over. Maacah took the title of queen mother, and she wanted to share the throne with her son Asa. But Asa had backbone. He dethrones his own mom. He refuses to allow an idolater, no matter who she might be, to assume power in Israel. In other words, Asa loved God more than his own mom. Reminds me of Jesus' words in Luke 14. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple.
Listening to Bible teaching here on the radio is a huge blessing that many of our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world simply don't have. We rejoice in this opportunity to share Pastor Sandy's messages with you. We do want to be sure to remind you that radio is not a church. Radio should be a complement to what God is already doing in your personal discipleship through the local body of believers that you're a part of. Maybe you're listening today. You don't have a home church. You've visited various places, but nothing seems to fit. First, if you live in the Atlanta, Georgia area, we want to personally invite you to join us for worship at Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain. We meet every Sunday morning at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. For more information, including driving directions, please log on to sandyadams.org and follow the link to the church website. Now, if you're listening outside of the Atlanta, Georgia area and are looking for a home church, we encourage you to log on to calvarychapel.com and find a Calvary Chapel in your area that teaches through the Bible, just like Pastor Sandy does each day here on this program. Well, we wish we had more time today, but we've come to the close of today's broadcast. Be sure to remember to join us again as Pastor Sandy continues teaching through God's Word. That's next time on Sandy Adams Radio.